Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
During the break, we just had a what moment. We'll fill you in on what that was in just a second as we get Connor Allen of 4 for 4 with us here on BetQL Daily in just a moment. Presented by BetMGM. Alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth, I'm Chris Mack. Final hour of the show, live coast to coast on the BetQL Network. Anything you may have missed so far, including recaps of last night's wild Game 2s in the NBA, angles on tonight's upcoming Game 2s with Von Dalzell earlier, or Ryan Wilson's draft perspectives from CBS Sports in the first hour, you know you can rewind inside your Odyssey app. It's free. Download it today, AUDACY, and take BetQL Daily with you wherever you're going, work, gym, ball field to watch the kids attempt to practice, home, wherever it may be. Take BetQL Daily with you. You can download us as a podcast, like I said, on demand as well. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you get your podcasts. Our perspectives on those big Game 2s in the NBA tonight in just a couple of minutes. Phoenix, Minnesota, Indy, Milwaukee, Dallas, and the Clippers, plus lightning bets before we wrap up. For those watching on twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube on the Odyssey Sports Channel, thank you for joining us. Connor Allen joins us now from 4 for 4, at Connor Allen, A-L-L-E-N, NFL, on X and Twitter, where he'll get you some of his favorite angles for the NFL draft, which is now just about 57 hours away. Good morning, Connor. With it being this close, where are you starting to feel like maybe there's some movement in the foundation to all the things that we've thought up to this point in the draft? Is it J.J. McCarthy maybe going where none of us expected that wow moment we all just had during the break when we were talking about the idea of him to Washington maybe?
Yeah, I don't think it's that far-fetched, and I think at the current odds right now, we're looking at 12-1 on BetMGM. I think it could be worth a little bit of a sprinkle because all along we've seen all the reports give major caveats in their language and, you know, saying, I think it will be Jaden Daniels. Everyone I talk to from other teams think it'll be Jaden Daniels, but it's not really coming from within Washington. The latest reports that we got are that Washington really likes J.J. McCarthy. They also really like Jaden Daniels. Multiple people have said now it's not going to be Drake May as of this morning. So I think we're between those two. And, you know, there's some rumblings behind the scenes that, you know, Jaden Daniels and was not, I guess, super high up on their list for other reasons. So I don't know. I think that J.J. McCarthy is worth a bet. I'm on an island here. Everyone in the media is saying otherwise. But I think it's a small swing, low risk, high reward here for something that I think can change very rapidly. We already saw what happened with Adam Peters before in another draft he was involved with.
So then what? Does that mean top four end up being quarterbacks, obviously with Arizona trading out of that four spot? Or does it mean top three with New England also going signal caller and then someone else falls, which is typically what happens when you have a rush of quarterbacks at the very top of the draft? So what's the fallout if it is McCarthy too?
Yeah, I think that we would see Jaden and May go right after him, like 3-4. I think that the Cardinals' phone would be ringing off the hook. You know, they would get an offer that they thought, you know, was better than if McCarthy was there at 4. And I think that they'd be more inclined to move back and then potentially trade back up like they did last year. I think that, you know, the Falcons at 8 are a very willing trade partner to move back. I think the Chargers at 5 potentially could move back as well. So, yeah, I think it would be the four quarterbacks all in a row, first time in NFL history.
What about Penix and Nix? Do you have them getting into the first round, either of them?
I don't know what to do with them because my personal bias is getting in the way of these bets because we're looking at Michael Penix, four season-ending injuries. I think throws a nice ball, but he's an older prospect. Like, it's all of the warning flags that we've seen from Hendon Hooker and, you know, prospects in the past who all get pushed in the first round. But then you have, like, serious team from, you know, reputable mock drafters saying that he's, you know, basically a locked-in first-round pick. Same with Bo Nix. You know, Bo Nix fits the Broncos really well. Everyone's talking about how they'll trade back into the first round or maybe even pick him at 12. So I would, you know, personally lean that they're not going to go in the first round, but there's just way too much steam for me to get involved with that, to be honest, because, like, everyone is talking about them as first-round picks, it seems like.
Connor Allen of 4 for 4 with us talking NFL draft here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. Is there anybody who you can find plus money on to take a quarterback with their first pick that may surprise you? Like, we went through some of our favorite bets about an hour ago, and I see Giants first position taken quarterback is almost 2-1. Like, that's one that kind of jumps out to me and makes me say, okay, there's a team that's sitting six, maybe quarterback slide just a little bit. Maybe they overvalue McCarthy or somebody else, or maybe they feel like they can trade their way up into the top three, three specifically, where the Patriots have said they're open for business. Just when you start to look at plus money and value propositions, Connor, what positions and team position matchups do you think make the most sense?
Yeah, in regards to quarterback, I think, you know, the Raiders at plus 230 isn't terrible too, especially if we kind of go along this lane of, you know, Daniels falling. We know that, you know, Jane Daniels has not been shy about saying that he wants to play with Antonio Pierce. And so, like, you know, I think that that's, you know, a viable connection there. Plus 230, maybe it's a little thin. You're probably better off playing just Jane Daniels exactly the Raiders. But, I mean, if you want to go with another kind of two off the path ones here, I think the Seahawks and the Rams are both kind of interesting. We saw, you know, Peter Schrager, who's really plugged into the Rams, say that he thinks they're going to go offensive player. We've seen some rumblings that they, you know, they need a new quarterback eventually. And so drafting someone like Nix or Penix, you know, at 19 wouldn't be that crazy with the Rams' first round pick since 2016 when they selected Jared Goff. So I don't think that that's that crazy. And the odds are pretty wild down there. And I think I'm still at a point where you can take a couple of long shots here because this draft specifically seems like it's going to be way more volatile than most people are projecting. There's like a consensus top 10 that I'm not really buying. And I think that leaves some opportunities potentially, you know, have some buying opportunities with plus money odds.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly where I was wanted to go next. So I had you on Saturday on early odds on 670, The Score here in Chicago. And at that time you had mentioned that one of your favorite bets on over under draft positions was Dallas Turner at over 9.5. And there was a time when that would have been a shocking move. Now it's like, yeah, it seems like that's the way that most people are trending. You mentioned the high variance with you, that back half of the top 10, it feels like anything can happen once those four quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison Jr. are off the board. What do you see? How do you think it plays out? And it sounds like you have a different thought process than most.
Well, at pick six, everyone's been talking about Malik Nabers going there to the Giants. But if we think about during Joe Shane when he took over, so with Dave Gettleman, like, there was leaks every year. We all knew their picks basically, you know, I mean, weeks in advance, pretty much every time. Joe Shane took over, no one predicted really came on the last couple of days, and, like, you know, the picks have been pretty well guarded. Now, like, the lead steam is Roma Dunza at sixth overall instead of Malik Nabers. I'm not opposed to that. I think that that's something that's interesting, just kind of fading that there. And so where does that land for Malik Nabers? I think that the team would be very interested in trading up for him at 8. I think the Bears would be very interested in him at 9. So, like, there's some a little bit longer shots there. And then, like, you know, going further down the board, I think that at 10, the Jets here, if you want to get contrarian, everyone's mocking them Brock Bowers right now. I'm not entirely sold on that. I think that they could go with an offensive lineman. If Joe Alt's there, they'll take him. I don't think he'll be there. I think he'll probably go to the Titans at 7. If he's not there, I think Troy Fatanu makes a lot of sense there as kind of a versatile offensive lineman that can play inside, develop into a long-term option outside, give the offensive line more depth for Aaron Rodgers, make sure he stays on his feet. So, again, those are some of the longer shots that I think could make sense to kind of like the back half of the top 10 there.
I like that. What are some of your other favorite bets that we haven't touched on that are still available?
Yeah, so, I mean, there is a Brock Bowers over-under. I like the over there. If he's not going to the Jets, I think that he could fall a little bit. Probably like 15 in the Colts, I think, makes a ton of sense. J.J. McCarthy under 5.5. The odds are like minus 130. I think that's really good. Even if he doesn't go second, and I'm, you know, a little bit, you know, crazy there, 4 and 5, I think, are still very viable. The Cardinals, I think, are considering trading down, could just stand pat and take Marvin Harrison. But if they don't, I think the Chargers are incredibly motivated to trade down. They've only been linked to basically offensive linemen, maybe some defensive players, and they don't really need a left tackle in Joe Alt. So, like, you know, they would have to move either Joe Alt or Rashawn Slater over to the right side, or they would have to draft J.C. Latham, who I think they really like. Taking J.C. Latham at 5 seems a bit rich, considering he'd probably be there, you know, in at least, you know, late single digits, early teens, I think, is where he's projected. So, yeah, I think that that is an interesting look as well, because J.J., I just have a tough time seeing him get out of the top 5 if the smoke around teams wanting him with the Vikings, with the Raiders, with the Broncos, or and Giants is real.
Connor Allen, a 4 for 4 with us here on BetQL Daily. Follow him on X at Connor Allen NFL as we build up to the draft now, just a little less than 57 hours away. One thing we've talked a lot about in the last couple of weeks, Connor, is the over-unders totals of certain positions to go in the first round. Offensive line in particular is one where we've been back and forth, the number sitting right around 9.5. Talked to Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports earlier. He said he's heard different things about a number of different offensive linemen, but say Jackson Powers Johnson in particular, interior lineman out of Oregon, could be sliding out of the first round. That would lead us to maybe the under. I'm not sure. It does feel like there's the potential of a run on offensive linemen, especially tackles, in the middle of this first round. We get into the mid to late teens, especially. When you look at that number, is there value on either side for you?
I'm not sure if there's value just because his offensive line class is so deep. So I think I have 10 right now in my final mock draft tentatively. And I think that it's just because there's like this chunk in the middle, like you mentioned, that just like all need offensive linemen. And there's really good offensive line talent. And so it all kind of matches up here where we're going to see, you know, J.C. Latham, Talese Fuaga, Fashanu, like all those guys are for sure going to go. Fatanu's going to go. And then you get into like the lower tier guys where you're talking about like Graham Barton apparently is really well liked at 21, 20, 22. Like he's going to go somewhere in that range. Tyler Guyton apparently is really loved by the Cowboys at 24. So then you're getting that back range here where the Chiefs, you know, I think could go wide receiver with Rashee Rice potential suspension hanging out, but I also think they can go with offensive linemen and continue to protect there. Kingsley Suma, I'm not going to try and pronounce it, Suma. You know, he, I think, is an interesting fit there with the Chiefs as well. And then, yeah, as you mentioned, JPJ could sneak in there. And then there's a couple other offensive linemen that have been rumored as well. So I'm only taking the over. I'm not taking the under on offensive linemen just because there's so many teams that need it. But I guess it wouldn't surprise me either way at this point, to be honest.
Okay. I want to go back to what you said about Alt. Now, you plugged him in at 7 to Tennessee. A lot of people have had that throughout. But let's go with this this idea of 4 quarterbacks in the top 4 picks and for the first time in NFL history, and a couple of bets that that pop out to me. Chargers sitting there at 5. So they could end up deciding a ton of bets. First non-quarterback, you know, that top 5 pick, of course. There's a ton of different angles. I keep going back to offensive linemen. So could Alt be the first non-quarterback, which is right now 10-1? That would be Leaping Harrison. Alt top 5 is plus 425. That jumped out. And then it seems like there's a bit of Latham buzz getting into the top 10. I kind of feel like the second offensive lineman that goes will end up being in the top 10. So Latham there is plus 425. Some of these value plays involving offensive linemen. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of like where you're thinking about 5 because I don't think anyone really knows what they're going to do at this point. I personally think that they would take Marvin Harrison Jr., which again is still like 3-1 at 5th overall. And you know, whatever quarter order you have the quarterbacks, I don't think that's bad. There's serious ties there with obviously, you know, Marvin Harrison's dad played with Harbaugh. The Chargers defensive coordinator when he was with Michigan last year called Marvin Harrison Jr. the best overall prospect in the last 15 to 20 years, not wide receiver prospect, overall prospect. And now he's obviously with the Chargers. So, you know, I mean, he's not making the decisions, but I think that they definitely like him specifically there. But if they do go offensive lineman, which I think is very viable given what Harbaugh wants and like kind of the strategies that he's talked about publicly, I think Alt and Latham are both very much in play at 5. So you can probably play a little bit of all of them, you know, just probably if you unit size correctly and distribute all three of those, because I do think that all three are incredibly live at five.
I wanted to circle back around real quick before we let you run, Connor. We only got like 60 seconds. Quarterbacks over under sits somewhere in the 4.5 range, 5.5 I've seen in other spots. But it comes back to Penix and Nix. Penix to the Raiders is 2-1. Do you think Penix and Nix end up going a late first round and those teams trade back into the first to get them? Or is it more about 33, 34, 35 for Penix and Nix?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be 33, 34, 35, you know, if I had to make a decision. And if I had to bet on the under 4.5, it'd probably be, I would take the plus money on under 4.5. I don't have a ton of conviction on it like I used to maybe a couple weeks ago before, you know, Michael Penix's agent deserves, you know, all the credit in the world for just pumping everything up here, because it's been an incredible hype season here.
Great stuff, Connor. We appreciate the insights at Connor Allen NFL on Twitter. And of course, 4 for 4 has got you covered with every single angle you could possibly want to bet the NFL draft. Appreciate the time, Connor. Enjoy it.
Appreciate it, guys. Talk soon.
Yep, absolutely. We are down under 57 hours, 56 hours, 44 minutes, and I don't know, 50-some seconds until the NFL draft. It's right around the corner. We've got you covered every single day this week here on BetQL Daily alongside Aaron Hawksworth and Joe Ostrowski. I'm Chris Mack. Lightning bets before we wrap up. And coming up next, some pivotal game twos in the NBA tonight. Do we get nearly as much drama as we got in a couple of those game twos last night? Suns, T-Wolves, Pacers, Bucks, and Mavericks, Clippers, all on the way next here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. So, Game 2's last night provided just a little bit more drama than we got from any of the 8 Game 1s in the NBA playoffs, especially in the case of the Lakers and Nuggets and Sixers and Knicks. Will we get some of that same drama tonight in Minnesota, Milwaukee, or LA, where the Clippers host the Mavericks, the Bucks, the Pacers, and the T-Wolves host the Suns, respectively? We'll get into all of those game twos that are played tonight in just a moment here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM, alongside Joe Ostrowski and Aaron Hawksworth. I'm Chris Mack. We got lightning bets for you before we wrap up as well. To those of you watching, we appreciate it. We are live coast to coast every single weekday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Twitch, twitch.tv/BetQL, as well as on YouTube. Just search the Odyssey Sports Channel. If you missed us drafting the draft, our favorite draft bets earlier, or our discussions with Ryan Wilson in the first hour, Connor Allen of 4 for 4 just a few moments ago, you can always get everything on demand after the fact as a podcast. Just search BetQL Daily and follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, including inside that Odyssey app, AUDACY. It's free. Download it today and take us with you wherever you're going, whatever you're up to. Game twos tonight. Let's start in Minnesota. You brought up this idea earlier, Aaron, and I think it's a really interesting idea. We talked to Von Dalzell about it earlier as well from NBC Sports. Suns getting 3.5 in Minnesota. Game two. Anthony Edwards, though, may have poked the bear one too many times. Trash talking KD this weekend. He did admit after the game, he's like, you know, it's my favorite player as a kid growing up, so I was kind of amped to go out there and play against him. But going off the way he did, not just scoring, taking advantage of the opportunity against the player he grew up watching, may have done something to flip a switch in KD as well.
Yeah, I love it, the trash talk. I mean, he called him old and all of that, and KD was just laughing. Like, he was smiling, which really, I love KD. I mean, nobody talks more trash on social media than KD, so it's like, to get up and talk trash to him, like, he's got to respect it. He was just laughing, like, okay, kid. But I like the Suns here. I will definitely bet the Suns on the spread. I think this is a good bounce back situation for them. Not sure I'm going to be on a ton of props in this one, but I do like the Suns, Joe.
Zigzag did not work last night in any game. Everybody goes up too low. But I guess, well, not winning, but covering, I guess you could say it worked in a couple of situations, because the Knicks win, but they don't cover. Philly ends up covering. Nuggets win, but the Lakers end up covering. But, you know, it kind of feels a little different in that spot. This is one where I just may have been so wrong. The Suns were my pick before the series started. We'll see. It's that defense at home, man. I just, is it going to flip? I think it changes when they go to Phoenix, but I don't know if it does in this spot. I don't have a play on the side. I thought it was interesting, though, that the line has already moved up from where we closed in game one. It moved up a point. The total goes down a couple of points. A prop jumps out to me. The prop is Gobert. He had 16 boards in the first game, 27 rebound opportunities. We know if the Suns are going to win, they're going to win on the perimeter. We understand that. And it's probably not going to be just KD. And I wonder, are the T-Wolves like, go ahead, KD, get your 30. That's fine. And if you're interested, that'd be over 26.5 points. But we're going to shut down everybody else. What's Booker going to do against this defense? Like, in most situations, I would say, okay, Booker's going to bounce back. Booker's going to have a big game. I want to look at his props. He's going to carry them. Yeah. Just not in this matchup, though, for me. That's my concern. Anyways, the prop that I do like the most is Gobert over 12.5 rebounds. Over 12.5.
Love
got
that.
Got 16.
Yeah.
Man, we're seeing some crazy rebound numbers. Jared Allen had a 20-rebound game last night, and he went off in the first game as well. But, yeah, with those 27 opportunities that he had, I see him getting over 12.5.
I think I'm with you on this Devin Booker angle, too, if you're going in the direction I think you're going, Joe, which is, yeah, KD, we're going to let you take over the game. Well, not take over the game, but we're going to let you have your shots, right? Go ahead. Have at it. And we'll make sure to lock down on Booker so that he can't get going. Booker under 24.5. I like that. I see it at minus 120 at BetMGM. So there, you pay a little price, but I think I'm full on fading Devin Booker at this point until he shows me that he's going to arrive in this series, which also to your point may happen in game three, may happen once they're back out in the desert, but I don't foresee it happening tonight. I really like Minnesota to go up 2-0 in this series. Aaron, they're 3.5 at BetMGM, but you can still find threes in a lot of spots, and even 2.5 I see in one spot on the board.
I have an idea on the heels of Joe talking about Rudy Gobert. 16 plus is plus 270. 14 plus is plus 125. Maybe that's a better look.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
He's that guy. Value, he could,
good number.
He could, yeah. How high does it go? Do they offer 20 plus or no?
No, 16 is the highest.
16 is the highest, yeah.
But what's that 16? Did you say 2-1?
It's almost three.
I mean, he could
almost three.
He could get 19. He did it like a month ago. He's had a couple 19s. I don't see any 20s. Oh yeah, he had a couple 20s in December. But yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he could definitely do that. 14 or 16 plus, I like.
It's not a bad look at all. Rudy Gobert and the T-Wolves hosting the Suns at 7:30. That one on TNT. Tip an hour later in Milwaukee, 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central on NBA TV. The Bucks host the Pacers. Pacers getting 1.5 on the road. It's 1 in some spots as well. If you like Milwaukee here, maybe it's just a money line play. I don't know. But the question is, can Damian Lillard continue to do what he did in game one? Can he take over the game as he did in game one? Von Dalzell, like I said, of NBC Sports was with us about an hour ago. He finds no reason to question Lillard doing it again. And I tend to lean in that direction. And I think myself right there near the top of the list, we kind of forgot about this. Like, I thought Lillard might have his moments in this series. And certainly game one was one of those moments, but maybe the question should have been, can he do this throughout a series? And again, to Vaughn's point, we've seen him throw a team on his back in Portland before over the years. He may have to do something similar to get Milwaukee past Indiana in this first round. Not that the Pacers are really going to provide much resistance defensively, Joe, but Mm-hmm. Look, the Bucks are shorthanded. If they want to score with Indiana, especially if Halliburton is having a decent night, then yeah, it might require another Dame Lillard game. And I don't find any reason to fade the guy at this point or to question whether he can throw this team on his back for another night.
Remember, Indiana was favored to win game one on the road. They were favored. That's how much love they were getting in the betting market. And now that is flipped. Mm-hmm. Now we're sitting at Milwaukee as a 1.5-point favorite. Big adjustment on the total. Way down. We're talking about playoff basketball. These unders have been hitting. It closed 230 in game one. Now we're sitting at 223.5. For these two teams, that is a very low number based on what they did all regular season and what they did matching up. You know, you had Giannis in that game, those games dominating, but still, it's the same teams. And now we're down to 223 in the hook. Very low number. What is Halliburton going to do, man? That's the big question. Which Halliburton is going to show up? He had 91 touches in that game. 91, and he still didn't get to 10 points. 9 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists in that game. They're really going to need him to take over. Potential assists, they were way up. But if I'm trusting a Pacer, it's hard for me to get there. And just with what we saw the other day and the version of Halliburton that we're getting right now, and to now say, all right, getting 1.5, I'm going to take him there. But without Giannis, Siakam, he's dominating.
Love it.
Just dominating so these matchups. And, you know, with the amount of rebounds, he had 36 points, 13 rebounds the other day. Points and rebounds, I think, they'll look. And that number's at 34.5. He had a million touches, million of rebounding opportunities. By far the leading scorer. Halliburton's not there. They're going to need Siakam to have another monster game just to hang around. So I'm going to go over on him, points and rebounds. Lillard. Yeah, I get what people are saying about the Portland days, but also we have what happened during the entire regular season. And Giannis misses some time from time to time. And we didn't see that guy all regular season. So I'm kind of wait and see mode. I want to see it again from Lillard because, you know, I've been disappointed with the Dame that we've seen all year with the Bucks.
Yeah, it's a great point about Siakam because he's also one of the only players that has playoff experience, you know, because of his Raptor days on this Pacers team. So I really like Siakam. I'm tempted to go under on Halliburton. I think Pat Bev did a really good job guarding him. I think he's rattling him, and it'll be interesting to see the adjustments that are made. But I don't know. Are we going to see a big Halliburton game? I kind of feel like we're not. I'm tempted to go under on Halliburton again.
I lean that way as well, Aaron. And I there's certain guys who rise to the occasion in these moments. Damian Lillard, more often than not in his career, has been one of them. I think if he's got an opportunity to drag them out to a 2-0 series lead in this one, headed back to Indy, then I would feel good about him being that guy tonight. The Mavs are going to have to wake up a whole lot earlier in game two against the Clippers than they did in game one. Joe mentioned it earlier when we were talking to Vaughn. That second quarter, possibly the worst quarter of basketball the Mavericks have played all year. It sat in direct opposition and dichotomy to what they had done for the last 2.5 months of the regular season. Second half, that was great. Yeah, okay, Luka, Kyrie, you've arrived. You're here 24 minutes too late. I do think, though, we get a big response from those two in particular. Dallas favored by 2.5 at the Clippers tonight. Tip just after 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on TNT. And I do think this is a bounce-back spot for Dallas. I don't know why they came out the way they did, Joe. But they did. The Clippers took advantage of it. We talked about James Harden having a big night. I don't know if that continues. There's a lot of things that I think happened, in particular in the first half of game one between the Mavs and Clippers, that I don't think get replicated tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you here. I do think this is a spot, and we're getting a little bit of value because game one closed Dallas -3.5, and after that result, I thought it was going to go in the other way.
that it would at least stay the same, because there's this mm-hmm. expectation that the real Mavs are going to be ready this time around, but not so much sitting at 2.5. So, yeah, this is a spot where I do like Dallas. It is interesting. On the road, 2.5-point favorite. I don't see the Clippers going up 2-0. Now, it could happen without Kawhi. Like, there's no way he's going to play. By the way, for the record, Giannis, he was listed as doubtful. So they're up 1-0. Why would he play in that one? Kawhi, don't expect to see him. I do like Dallas in this spot. 2.5, good number. Total's about, total dropped as well. All these games, totals are dropping. You get some unders hitting, and mm-hmm. they're like, okay, let's drop it 5-6 points. Another one of those situations. Prop-wise, anything jump out? You know, the Luka numbers are crazy high. The PRA for him is like 52.5. Okay.
No,
he could have a great game, but yeah, I'm not going there. What about Zubats? Rebounds, 10.5. Had 15 the other game. Had 26 opportunities in that matchup. I would play the over 10.5 there.
I like that. I'm looking at Kyrie points, rebounds, assists. He had 42. His number, it's set at 34.5. I think that Kyrie can go over that again, and that way you're not pinned down to, is it just points? Is it just rebounds? Is it just assists? I think over 34.5, it is only -104 at FanDuel. This is one where I could see the zigzag theory playing out. I think we are all expecting this to go the distance as well before it started. So I could see a bounce back situation here. But I think I'll just stick with the Kyrie over 34.5 PRA.
That's a really good look. I like that number a lot because, again, I think we get Kyrie and Luka from the jump tonight. It's not about warming to the task or waking up, which is odd. I thought it would be the Clippers who might have to do that in this series, but they were ready to go from the tip over the weekend, and now they get an opportunity to maybe jump out 2-0. That might also be the spot where we've got the best opportunity for drama tonight as well. Although, like we talked about, Durant, Edwards, everything that goes into that in the first game of the night in Minnesota between the T-Wolves and the Suns could give us some there as well. Big night for the NBA with these game twos on the slate. Plenty of baseball action, maybe more draft bets to lay down as well. With that, just 2 days away, we get you our lightning bets and wrap things up here on BetQL Daily next, presented by BetMGM. Lightning bets in just a moment here on BetQL Daily, presented by BetMGM. We're live 9 a.m. to noon Eastern every single weekday, coast to coast on the BetQL network. And, of course, you can watch us, twitch.tv/BetQL. We appreciate the interaction there. And, of course, on YouTube, just search Odyssey Sports. You can watch us live there every single day. Anything you may miss throughout the show, you know you can get us on demand as a podcast wherever you get your podcast. Just search BetQL Daily. Be sure to follow or subscribe, and you'll get it all handed to you right there with no need to spin back or sit glued to your Odyssey app throughout the day, although we welcome you to do that as well. Great conversations about the draft today with Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports, Connor Allen of 4 for 4 with some unique angles on how to bet things, especially near the top of the first round, and some NBA playoff insights from Vaughn Dalzell of NBC Sports as well, and plenty more on both tomorrow. You can bet on it as we push one day closer to the NFL draft. Lightning bets, though, may include some baseball, maybe some more draft looks as well. If you missed our draft of the draft, the hell do I mean by that? We drafted our favorite NFL draft bets. It's out on social media right now. Follow us on X at BetQL Daily. Props to the social media team for putting that together, including the voiceless Paul Aspen for getting all of our picks out there. Joe, you still have a voice and you have bets. What do you got for us today in Lightning Bets?
Another cool thing to check out that I don't know if this is brand new, but I'm glad it's been added, that if you're on the Odyssey app, which is how a lot of mm-hmm. people listen to the show, you search up BetQL Daily or search BetQL Network. If you go under it, you see all of our segments. And they're right there. You don't have to wait for a podcast. And you just click on, oh, I missed Ryan Wilson. Here's Ryan Wilson. This 8:20 segment. Uh-huh. Just press it here. 8:20 Central Time. So very easy. So if you want my draft bets that we gave out, go back to that. Click on that segment. Click on the podcast. Yeah. We'll have a lot more over the next couple of days. But as far as lightning bets, I'm going to stick with NBA and MLB. There's some twos out there for the Mavs. I think it's a big difference from 2.5. I like that. I will jump on that number. Dallas minus two. We're going to have a 1-1 series. As far as Phoenix, Minnesota, going prop angles, and let's go Gobert. 12.5 rebounds, hitting that number. He had 16 in game one, 27 rebound opportunities in game one. We know he's going to control the paint, so I'm going over 12.5 boards for him. And Indiana, Milwaukee, favorite flips. Interesting, total way down, but I'm going to go with Siakam. If Indiana's going to hang in this game, it looks like it's going to be him. It's tough to trust Halliburton at this point. 34.5 points and rebounds. Had a million touches, ton of rebounding opportunities. Big game one. I think he's going to have a big series throughout, especially with no Giannis. He was listed as doubtful. He's going to control the paint there. So going to go with Siakam. Points and rebounds, that number's 34.5. And a couple of baseball bets that I'm looking at. Teams that do very well against lefties. Let's go first five, Astros, minus 115 facing the Cubs. And let's go, we're getting plus money on the Diamondbacks. Yeah, we are. Plus 120 for the first five Diamondbacks. Another top five offense against lefties facing St. Louis.
Love it.
Here it goes. Baseball and basketball.
I know I said I wanted to back the Suns, but that spread was at 4, then 3.5, then 3, and now BetMGM's at 2.5. So I think I might pass. Sounds like everyone agrees with us. This could be a Suns bounce back spot.
Yeah.
But I don't think side. I don't know if I want to get involved. I kind of missed the good number throughout the show. It just keeps going down. All right, I'm going to tail the Rudy Gobert rebounds idea. I'll do 14-plus rebounds at plus 125. Can't decide what to do with James Harden. You mentioned the threes. Yeah. Over 2.5 threes is intriguing. I might have to do that one for him. Halliburton, I'm going to say under. I don't know if he is going to get it together. I don't trust him. Under 19.5 points. And to baseball, my favorite bet, Nats, first five, plus 195. If you want to know the advanced metrics of these pitchers, go back and listen to the show. Blue Jays, first five, I think there's value on them as well at plus 108. And then I didn't want to give this one away. They're three games back in the division. The Oakland A's are 500-1 to win the division?
Oh,
what if something crazy happens? Yes, I love it. 500-1.
What?
I mean, I don't know if the Rangers are going to be as good as they were last year. The Mariners, we've already discussed, we don't trust. And the A's are, you know, I know it's still young in the season, three games back. I think it would be a great story. And at 500-1, I'm betting it.
What? How many wins would it take to win that West? Probably a lower number than we thought a few weeks ago.
I mean, is 87 too high? I mean, that.
They're up to third
place. Low 80s? I know. That's what I'm saying.
Man.
It's not going to be the Angels. Well,
500-1 is insane. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
True.
Great story. Yeah. I mean, if we time capsule this and come back around, it doesn't even have to be Labor Day. It doesn't even have to be like trade deadline. If we get to forget the All-Star break, even if we get beyond Memorial Day, I'm only talking like another 5 weeks from now. And this is still looking the way it's looked to this point. Cash out queen might have to make an appearance, Hawk. I mean,
oh yeah. I'll put a dollar on it and cash out for $250.
It's a good look. Good long shot look, our Oakland A's. I like them today, at least on the mound against the Yankees. So I'll start with baseball. I'll start Nats first five money line against the Dodgers. I'm tailing baseball Hawk there. Sure, why not? Corbin's underlying metrics against Paxton's underlying metrics. I'm betting on the XFIP here. Minnesota, -1.5. Yeah, Minnesota run line against the White Sox. That is the bet every single day until it stops paying out. Run line fade of the White Sox. Phil's Reds first five under 4.5, as well as I mentioned A's Yankees first five total under 4.5. And Orioles on the run line against the Angels tonight is better than even money. Grayson Rodriguez on the mound against Griffin Canning. Hoops tonight, Mavs -2 where you can get it against the Clippers. Kyrie PRA, another Hawk fade there, over 34.5. And to steal a line from our friend Jakob, Lillard first field goal, +650. Sure, why not? he was second best on the team at drilling the first field goal this season, behind only Giannis. And Giannis most likely not going to play tonight. Hockey. Rangers, Caps. Rangers go up 2-0 in the series. Take them on the puck line. It's just about even money. And throw in a Panarin anytime goal as well. The Breadman +125 to score. Tampa Bay bounces back against the Panthers +150. Kucherov over 1.5 points at +125. And we get the Avs and the Jets coming back to earth. Both teams going to try and focus on defense because that's what Winnipeg has done all year. Colorado, because they scored 6 goals and still somehow lost the damn game to Winnipeg in game one. So both teams will dial it back, play more defensive-oriented, playoff-style postseason hockey, take the under 6.5, a big fat number there, and an under opportunity in game two between the Avs and the Jets. Mr. Flippy Slippy, bet slips and bat flips at 2 p.m. Eastern. Do you have anything to add, Jake?
White Sox.
Mr. Flippy Slippy, I thought we were done talking about my weekend. Anyway, I will be on the A's money line because it's a fade of Stroman, 2.42 ERA, but his FIP is 4. And Blackburn, even though he has a 1.08 ERA, he's got a 2.7 FIP, which is still pretty darn good. So, yeah, that I regret that joke. That was grosser.
Too late.
Out loud than
everybody
I thought it was in my head. But
your mom.
Anyway, you know what? Just didn't buy it. Also, I'm going to add, just for funsies, home run play of the day because it's been a while. Byron Buxton has not hit a home run since July 21st of last year. Going against the White Sox and Eric Fetty today. Had a rest day yesterday to get the mind right. I like the spot. 4-1 on BetMGM for him today. And the rest of the card on Bet Slips and Bet Flips.
Yeah, how the Royals doing? Whatever.
Royals lost yesterday. Wasn't great. Blue Jays came to life for once. But listen, because the AL Central is such a gauntlet because the Cleveland Guardians are going to keep being the best team in the league. That's something that'll happen. I had Trotter text me, should we bet what? Josh Naylor MVP? I was like, no. What are you, nuts? He goes, I don't know. Like, the price is crazy. I go, just say out loud, Josh Naylor, AL MVP. That doesn't even sound right. I'm sure he's a wonderful person.
Who is the run differential? +52, Jake. They are winning by an average of better than 2 runs per game.
Okay. You can have all that. I'm sticking with the Royals.
What do you think about Aaron's Oakland bet?
For the division?
Yes.
I mean, the A's have, like, I thought they would go over the win total. I thought they'd be somewhat competitive. They're playing better than even I thought. I don't think they're going to win the division. I still think that rotation isn't a division-winning rotation.
It's the numbers play.
Right, but at the numbers play, like she said, for a dollar and then you cash out at half the price in a couple months, I don't hate it. Like, if you're playing it as A, I'm going to play it for the number and try to get a cash out later in the season. Yeah, I don't hate that look. I don't think that maybe something crazy happens and they win the division and we get a Hawk cash out and they win the division. Then it's like, oh, I should have never cashed out. And it would be really, really funny and good content. But
well, that always happens to me. But the Rangers were like, what? No one expected them to win the division last year. I guess they didn't technically. Or did they?
It came down to the last game. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think I missed that bet, but I bet them as a long shot. I think the division's open at 500-1. Put a dollar.
It's a good cash out queen angle Absolutely. We'll be back tomorrow and a day closer to the NFL draft and more game twos around the NBA playoffs to talk about, as well as the Stanley Cup playoffs and baseball. For Brian Gerch, for Jake Hassan, Paul Aspen, Aaron Hawksworth, and Joe Ostrowski, I'm Chris Mack. This is BetQL Daily.